So that's that's always great, isn't it, when people clap before you've even said anything. we'll see if you're still clapping at the end. Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you. Making predictions is quite a tricky task, especially if they're about the future. And so I'm going to start by telling you a little bit about the past. You see, when I left school, I was actually told that we'd be able to live on the moon, that we would drive around in hover cars, maybe even fly around in hover cars, and that my main problem would be what to do with my leisure time, because everything would be done by robots. And so I'm sorry, Elon Musk. Mr. Moss Gibbons of Form 4B got there first. And that was in 1977. So if Mr. Moss Gibbons was here now, I have to say I would have to tell him that I was a little bit disappointed about how things panned out. But he would be gratified to see some of the latest developments. That said, the big gap in Mr. Moss Gibbons' thesis about the future was that he made no reference at all to quite how discombobulating all these changes would be to us humans living on this planet. Now, I went on to study zoology, amongst other things, and the trajectory of change that we face today is characterized by three things. Speed, the speed of change is astonishing. Complexity, and we've heard some of that this morning already. And uncertainty. And I can tell you as a zoologist that any animal's response to this kind of rapid change is fear. It is fear. And that leads to certain behaviors. Perceptual narrowing, so our perceptions all start to tunnel. And then that's followed by either paralysis or precipitous action, sometimes aggressive, in brackets, polarization and a kind of black and white view of the world, and loss of social coherence and cohesion. So not that you see much of that in the news today. So those are just the typical responses. So what I want to talk about is how do we equip ourselves going into this world to deal with that kind of change so that we can not only survive but also thrive. So let me just remind you a little bit about what Darwin talked about. Darwin did not talk about the survival of the fittest and strongest. That paraphrase is very misleading. Darwin talked about survival of those who can adapt the fastest to the changing environment. That's very different. That's very, very different. So that's the first step to understand that our job as we develop our career or our business or our society is about our speed of adaptation. And so we need ways of doing that, and I want to talk about those. So the first thing is to stay broad. To stay broad. We have a huge tendency towards specialization, and we see this in nature as well. You become more specialized towards your environment, and we do that because you'll become more and more successful within that niche that you work. The danger is when the world changes, you find that your gene pool has become more and more homogeneous. And when that change happens, you don't have the adaptability. This is exactly what happened to the dinosaurs, by the way. They were not able to change, but they're probably one of the most successful groups of animals that have ever roamed the earth. So we need to think about how to stay broad. And there are a number of ways. First thing to think about is the meta skills, developing a set of meta skills. And that means things like, let's take accounting. Accounting is likely to be automated. But if you know about accounting and project management, that's interesting. If you know about accounting, project management, and the healthcare industry, now you're getting very interesting, particularly for the healthcare industry. If you know about accounting, project management, the healthcare industry, and you also have strong customer relationships, that's quite hard to match anywhere in the market. That's difficult. So what I would say is, make sure that you have breadth. You will have to specialize, but keep your breadth. Make sure you build outwards. Don't wait for a T-shaped career to emerge where you go vertically and then broaden out later. Broaden out now. So that's the first way of broadening. The other thing is diversity and inclusion. This is quite often talked about as just a kind of nice to have. Actually, it's the engine for innovation, and it's also the engine for keeping your gene pool wide. Work with people, but not only people, people who are not like you. Yeah? Stay clear of that homogenous gene pool and work with people who are different from you. It's no accident that cross-functional teams are what we need to improve processes. It's no accident that it is multidisciplinary teams that create breakthroughs in research. And it's no accident that international teams, although slower to form, outperform homogeneous teams in times of change. Of course, in stable times, you may find this tendency towards homogenization because you can then get more efficient. But when the world changes, and of course that is the thing we're dealing with today, you need to have that breadth to keep your gene pool wide so that you can survive. So this second thing after breadth is strategy, not plans. If you know what the future holds, you can plan. We don't know what the future holds. We don't know how this is going to pan out. And so a plan is just simply not feasible. So let me talk to you a little bit about birds. A bird faced with an empty field marked out in squares of 1 meter and is thinking about how can I forage for food. They're extremely efficient at doing it. Now, of course, they don't know where the worms are. So how are they going to work that out? Well, they set off initially, fairly randomly, sampling. And they quickly find where the highest density of worms arrive. But they don't just continue visiting this one square. They do, for 80% of the time, they return to that square and they go back regularly, but they continue to sample for 20% of their time other squares. So if that square dries up, they already are thinking about where's the next place to go. So this is more a strategy. They don't know how that field is going to pan out, and they're preparing for a world that will change. 20% of your time means one day a week, by the way. Doing other things, doing things differently. So having a strategy rather than a plan, a strategic approach, is going to be very important. So that's the first thing, stay broad, strategy, not plans. And the third thing is context is king. AI doesn't have feelings and it doesn't have intentionality. That's very important. In a world where data and analytics appear to be making the rules. It's vital to flex our human muscles and our human meta skills. So what we need to be doing is using our great talents for combining the virtual world with the real world, the world of data with the world of feelings, imagination, and emotions. We need to remind ourselves that frogs and bicycles are different. What do I mean by that? Just very simply, if you do what I have done in my misspent youth, taken a bicycle to bits, you can take it to bits in your garage, you can get all the component parts, you can make improvements, and when you put it back together again, it works. Frogs are different. I can tell you. I'm a zoologist. You know, you can take them to bits to some extent. Making improvements and putting them back together is problematic. So, you know, it's interesting that at a time in our development when we can land a shuttle on a distant planet, millions and millions of miles away, a spot landing, we still cannot forecast the weather more than 4 days out. You know, and that's because the weather is more froggist. It's a system. It doesn't reveal its secrets to our reductionist, bikist approach to life. And I would say, don't be seduced by all this froggist thinking that AI can introduce, the amount of data that we are asked to talk about. We need to think as humans and understand that data is completely meaningless or at best misleading without context. So if I was to give you a sequence of numbers, 2, 4, 5, and 8, and ask you which is the odd one out, I have to tell you, it's not 5. It's 8. Because all the others come with fried rice. Now, I put this into ChatGPT, and I found out that ChatGPT doesn't have a sense of humor. So, you know, that's just how things are. So I want to finish by coming back to the nature of change, the type of change we're facing, fast, uncertain, complex, and our response to it, which we remember is fearful. And don't think we're immune from that. The ideas I've talked about with you should give you a bit more confidence to be less fearful. But I can tell you it's not enough. I started my career in the army, and I can tell you if you're going into a dangerous and uncertain world, you don't want to do it on your own, and you don't want to do it with people that you don't trust. Building trust and relationships at work, in the workplace, a safe work environment, and at home, and in our communities, is probably the most important thing we need to develop and keep in mind as we experiment, not plan, our way into this uncertain future. Thank you very much.